This is Akashwani. In this special program, now we bring you a discussion on significance of Prime Minister's visit to Cyprus, Canada and Croatia. The participants are Ashok Sajjanhar, former ambassador, and Professor Gulshan Sachdeva, international affairs expert. Moderator is Tina Cha, journalist.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Sunday embarked on a three-nation tour with visits to the Republic of Cyprus, Croatia and Canada, where he will attend the G7 summit. The first stop of the Prime Minister's itinerary is Cyprus, where he'll be there for 2 days, 15th and the 16th of June. Interestingly and significantly, this marks the first visit to the island nation in over two decades by an Indian Prime Minister. He'll engage with the country's top leadership and review the ongoing cooperation across various avenues between both countries. Following Cyprus, Prime Minister Modi will travel to Canada to attend the G7 summit. India has been a regular invitee, remember, to this summit, and this will be Prime Minister Modi's sixth consecutive appearance at the summit. The final leg of the Prime Minister's journey will be Croatia, where he'll arrive on the 18th of June, marking the first ever visit by an Indian Prime Minister to the country. So how significant a milestone, therefore, is this visit of the Prime Minister to Croatia in strengthening ties with the country? In the wider context, also, how is the Prime Minister's three-nation tour expected to bolster India's sustained efforts to deepen partnerships with these countries? We'll talk about these aspects and much more with Ambassador Ashok Sajjanhar. He's been in the Indian Foreign Service for over three decades. He writes extensively and speaks on matters relating to international relations and foreign policy. Also joining us is Professor Gulshan Sachdeva, Center for European Studies, JNU. A very warm welcome to both our guests. Thank you for joining us on Akashwani.
Thank you.
Before we begin the discussion, let's listen in to this report by Mr. Rajadurai P., Akashwani correspondent, who's currently in Cyprus.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi was warmly received at Larnaca International Airport by Cyprus President Nikos Christodoulidis. This marks the first visit by an Indian Prime Minister to the country in over two decades. Shortly after his arrival, Prime Minister traveled to Lamassos, where he received a rousing welcome from the Indian community. Students, professionals and families turned out in large numbers celebrating what they see as a milestone in Indo-Cypriot relations. Prime Minister Modi and President Christodoulidis are scheduled to participate in a business roundtable shortly, bringing together key Indian and Cypriot entrepreneurs to explore new avenues of cooperation, trade, investment and innovation. Tomorrow, the two leaders will hold formal bilateral talks in Nicosia, covering a wide range of areas including education, digital partnerships and regional security. Discussions will also touch on global developments such as the India-EU partnerships and the India-Middle East-Europe Economic Corridor. A symbolic highlight of the visit will be the joint visit to the Nicosia Town Hall, followed by a walk along the UN ceasefire line, underscoring India's historic contribution to UN peacekeeping in Cyprus. The Prime Minister's visit will conclude with an official lunch hosted in his honor at the Presidential Palace before his departure to Canada for the G7 summit.
All right, so coming to the discussion now, we'll divide the conversation in different parts, each focusing on the three legs of the Prime Minister's overseas visit. Ambassador, coming to you first. The Prime Minister's visit to Cyprus is significant because it is the first by an Indian Prime Minister to the country in 23 years and also the first by Prime Minister Narendra Modi. To begin with, help us and our viewers understand the symbolism as well as the strategic significance attached to this visit.
The visit is coming after a long time. It's about 23 years since Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee visited Cyprus in 2002. But that having been said, the contact between the Indian Prime Minister and the leadership of Cyprus has been quite intense in recent years. We've also seen the visit of the Cypriot president to India in 2017. We had our own president going to Cyprus, Sri Ramnath Kovindji, in 2019. The Prime Minister Modi has met both the President of Cyprus and the Prime Minister of Cyprus several times on the sidelines of global meetings, whether it is at the UNGA or it is Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting, etc. And External Affairs Minister has also been visiting Cyprus, and there have been return visits. So this is a good relationship, but the possibility and the potential for taking it further is much greater. I think whether it is in the area of trade, it is in the area of investment, commerce, there are very many great opportunities. And I think Cyprus looks upon India, of course, as a big country, largest democracy in the world, but also the fourth largest economy in the world and the fastest growing major economy in the world. So I think there are synergies, whether it is, you know, what is called the four T's in terms of trade possibilities between the two countries, technology, where India has taken huge strides in terms of talent, because India and Cyprus signed the mobility partnership agreement some time ago, and technology and tourism. Yeah. So there are very many avenues on which both the countries can collaborate. Things are happening, and I think Prime Minister Modi's visit 2 days, today and tomorrow, it is going to provide a huge impetus to the already existing historical and long-standing friendly relations between India and Cyprus.
Okay, Professor Sachdeva, let me bring you in here. My question to you has two parts. India-Cyprus share historical relations. So help us and our listeners understand first, what kind of historical bonds have we shared? How has our relationship evolved over the years? And in context of this visit of the Prime Minister, how do you see it adding contemporary relevance and value to the historical ties that both countries enjoy?
Historically, you know, we are part of Commonwealth. Cyprus was also part of, you know, the founding member of non-aligned movement. So we have been, you know, working together for decades. Common aspirations, although this is, in fact, you know, one can ask, very small country of 1 million people somewhere, you know, in the Mediterranean, what importance really it can have for India. You know, I think I would say that, you know, there are three or four ways which in the contemporary scenario, you can look at the importance of Cyprus. One is, you know, the strategic location. This is located, you know, West Asia, Africa and Europe. You know, so the way, in fact, things are happening in this part of the world, or hamara jo usme Mediterranean mein jisko hum bhumadhriya sagriya kshetra kehte hain, usme jo hamara jo interest pehle se bada hai, particularly in the context of India Middle East Europe economic corridor, usme I think this becomes very, very important. And secondly, आर्थिक तौर से अगर हम देखते हैं, भारत का अगर आपके साथ व्यापार अभी कोई, you know, 100-150 million का है, लेकिन अगर आप उनका इन्वेस्टमेंट देखते हैं तो लिस्ट में साइप्रस 9वें-10वें नंबर पे आता है, और पिछले 20-25 साल में अगर हम देखते हैं तो लगभग 15-16 billion वहां से आया है. उसका कारण यह है, मॉरिशस की तरह वहां पे भी एक खुला बाजार की तरह वो अपना काम, वहां से इन्वेस्टमेंट आती है, तो वो एक अच्छा स्रोत हमारे लिए रहा है. भारत विदेशी कंपनियों के लिए, दे आर कमिंग टू इंडिया इन्वेस्टिंग थ्रू साइप्रस, सो दैट्स इंपॉर्टेंट. एंड द थर्ड थिंग इज, आई थिंक द काइंड ऑफ रोल साइप्रस कैन प्ले विद इन द यूरोपियन यूनियन एंड स्टिल प्लेइंग विद इन द यूरोपियन यूनियन. यू नो, सिंस 2004 दे हैव बीन मेंबर ऑफ द ईयू. Now they also have a part of the Eurozone, and by next year, hopefully, they will also be part of the Schengen area. And the first 6 months of next month, they are also going to be the rotating presidency of the European Council. And those 6 months are going to be very crucial for India-Europe relations. You know, we believe that by the end of this year, the negotiation between India and the EU are going to be kind of completed, hopefully. And then if that happens, then perhaps the India-EU FTA and also the next summit and the next roadmap from 25 to 30 perhaps may happen under Cyprus presidency. So it means economically, strategically, and also the kind of role they play within the European Union, that's important. And I think the last point, which is also the what Prime Minister messaging when he is going to Cyprus. As you know, since 1974, one third of Cyprus is under Turkish occupation. And there is a separate issue altogether, which is called now the Turkish Republic of the Northern Cyprus. So that issue apart, the recent, you know, the Pahalgam attack and later on during Operation Sindoor, the kind of role Turkey played during that period. And I think going to Cyprus, because they do not have diplomatic relations with each other, and they have, you know, serious tension because of, you know, the Turkish occupation of one third of the area. There is also messaging through this visit by the Prime Minister, and this is his first visit after Operation Sindoor, you know, to outside. So it means there are a couple of issues here. Yes, this is a very small country, and historically we have worked together. You know, we fought colonialism together, and they were working leaders, you know, from the Jawaharlal Nehru onwards. I mean, the leaders of Cyprus, Prime Minister Indira Gandhi also visited Cyprus in 1982. Later on, you know, this was again Prime Minister Atul Bihari Vajpayee also 20 years. So there is a certain historical legacy, there is a certain historical context to this, and then there are contemporary realities, economic, strategic, and also certain messaging which goes through this particular visit.
Right, yeah. So significant contemporary relevance attached to this visit of the Prime Minister. Taking on from the points and the aspects mentioned and highlighted by Professor Sachdeva, Ambassador, I'll come to you and first understand on the EU Council presidency, which Cyprus is taking next year. It's a rotating presidency for 6 months. But if the India-EU FTA happens by the end of this year, it means Cyprus is going to play a key role in implementing that FTA. So will it also pave way for deeper engagement and collaborations with the European Union under Cyprus's presidency? Should India be hopeful on that front?
You know, India has been paying much greater attention to Europe and the European Union in particular over the last several years. I think if you were to look at the last 11 years and see the number of times that our top leadership has visited countries in Europe and see how the top leadership, not only of the European Union, but also of different European countries, they have come to India. I think that will give an indication as to what is the emphasis, what is the focus that India has as far as Europe is concerned and vice versa. You would see that, in February, just a few months ago, we had the visit of the President of the European Commission, Mrs. Ursula von der Leyen, and she came there with a College of Commissioners. That is about 21, 22 out of the 27 commissioners, they accompanied her. That means really her whole cabinet accompanied her. I think that sent out a very strong message that Europe is very keen to enhance its partnership with India. I think that is also understandable because the world is going through huge turbulence. There is great uncertainty. It was already there, when Russia invaded Ukraine. At that time, the world really got divided into two halves between the East and the West. And of course, we know that there has been a division for a long time between the economically developed North and the still to emerge global South. So the world is dividing in all this. So different countries are trying to find different partners. The European Union is an excellent partner for India. Of course, our partnership with the United States continues. And notwithstanding some of the unusual steps that we have seen from the United States in recent months. But I think as far as trade is concerned, as far as security and stability in the Indo-Pacific is concerned, there are a number of areas of which we have convergence with the United States. Right. But that notwithstanding, Europe has emerged as a very increasingly important player and very important for India.
Cyprus acts as a gateway for India to deepen engagement with Mediterranean, Europe, EU's southern parts as well. Before I move to a conversation on the Indian diaspora, here's a little conversation that Akashwani correspondent Rajadurai had with some of the members who were there to welcome the Prime Minister on his first ever visit to Cyprus. So listen in.
Namaskar, I'm Ashutosh Mehrotra. The Indian community has been eagerly waiting for quite some time for a Prime Minister to visit Cyprus because it has been a long 22 years that a Prime Minister is now visiting Cyprus. And I believe this will uplift our stature here as Indian origins in Cyprus. Plus, the relationship between India and Cyprus are going to become much more stronger, which will be of mutual benefit to both the countries and the diasporas of both the countries.
Professor Sachdeva, taking on from the point about the Indian diaspora, and we've seen that the Prime Minister, no matter which part of the world he goes into, he makes sure that he engages with the Indian diaspora unlike any other leader. How important is the Indian diaspora in Cyprus in strengthening soft diplomacy and people-to-people ties?
Well, I mean, Cyprus is a small country, so obviously the Indian diaspora is only about 10,000-12,000 people there. I think they are playing very useful and very important role in the economy of Cyprus because many of them are either they are in the high-tech sector, IT sector and other areas, or many of them are also students there. And as you have rightly mentioned, whenever our Prime Minister goes to any country, even if a small country like Cyprus, he makes a point to meet people, because these people, as you know, since any Prime Minister is going after 20 years now, so obviously there'll be huge excitement among Indians there that, you know, our prime minister is coming, and these things do matter, you know, for their life and their, you know, self-esteem in that country. And particularly when country is, they're going to have close relationship, and as what happens whenever there's a high-level visit, as this is happening now, these high-level visits are also with certain kind of symbolism. Prime minister would also be given the highest honor of this country, and there'll be possibility that, you know, whenever the prime minister is there, it means there are going to be many agreements signed between Cyprus and India. So those things would really matter, and their concerns, because, you know, local people, those who are there, they have certain concerns about many issues. So those concerns sometimes are taken care of by the administration on both sides. So obviously, I think they are excited, and they'll be meeting the Prime Minister, some of them, and I'm sure they'll play a very important role in bringing these two countries together.
Absolutely. Moving on now to the Prime Minister's visit to Canada, where he will be attending the G7 summit. This is the sixth consecutive G7 summit that Prime Minister Modi will be participating in. Professor, I'll begin the round with you. India's participation in the G7 summit reflects its growing clout in global affairs, and we've seen the chain of events that happened before the invite was extended to Prime Minister Modi. What key messages do you think our Prime Minister will carry to the G7 forum this year?
Well, I think this is a very important meeting as far as India is concerned for a couple of reasons. One is we are not member of G7. So obviously we are there because India matters. That's why we have been called many years, you know, every G7 summit, Indian Prime Minister has been attending. At this point of time, these are the countries, you have countries from Europe, four countries, France, Germany, Italy, and UK, and also the European Union. And then you have US, Canada, and Japan. These are the highly industrialized countries, industrialized democracies. So the one question is that the kind of role G7 used to play 50 years ago when it was set up, now, the world has totally changed. And even the establishment of G20 itself was an recognition that G7 se sare duniya ke dikkatein khatam nahi ho sakti hain. To bade aur countries hain, chahe wo Bharat ho, Chin ho, Brazil ho, South Africa ho, unko aapko saath mein leke aana padega. Lekin pichle kai saalon se hum dekh rahe hain, 10-12 saal se, isliye wo is puri meeting mein G7 mein bhi bade countries ko bulate hain, kyunki unko lagta hai ki sare duniya ki dikkatein wo khatam nahi kar sakte hain jaisa wo pehle sochte थे. लेकिन अभी भी अगर हम EU और G7 कंट्रीज को मिला के देखते हैं तो लगभग 40% से ज्यादा जो दुनिया की अर्थव्यवस्था है अभी भी उनके कंट्रोल में है, और द इंस्टीट्यूशंस ऑफ ग्लोबल गवर्नेंस वो भी उनके कंट्रोल में अभी हैं. तो काफी हद तक वो कुछ रोल अदा कर सकते हैं. लेकिन भारत जैसे देश, चीन जैसे, चीन तो क्योंकि इसके अंदर जा नहीं सकता क्योंकि ये डेमोक्रेसीज हैं, और काफी समय तक रूस भी इसका एक हिस्सा रहा था, 2014 के बाद से उसको सस्पेंड इसमें से किया गया है. तो भारत जैसे कंट्री का उसके अंदर बड़ा इंपॉर्टेंट रोल है. दूसरी बात है, पहले हम ये मान के चलते थे कि G7 के जो देश हैं ऑन ऑल मेजर इश्यूज ऑफ द वर्ल्ड दे हैव मोर ऑर लेस सिमिलर व्यूज ऑन दैट. लेकिन अगर आप व्यापार का मुद्दा देखते हैं, अंतरराष्ट्रीय व्यापार का, जो पूरा टैरिफ वॉर चला हुआ है, दूसरा क्लाइमेट की बात हम करते हैं, दिस इज अनदर सेकंड मेजर इशू, खासतौर से यूक्रेन और रूस का जो युद्ध चल रहा है उसके बारे में यूरोप और अमेरिका का जो मतभेद है विचार के बीच में, और G7 के अपने देश हैं, जैसे आप कनाडा और अमेरिका की बात करते हैं, उनका आपस में टेंशन पिछले कई महीनों से हम देख रहे हैं. तो पहले जैसा कोहेरेंट G7 अभी नहीं है, लेकिन फिर भी काफी महत्वपूर्ण है, उसके महत्व को भी हम इनकार नहीं कर सकते हैं. तो भारत जैसे देश की वहां पे भागीदारी होना, एक तो यह है कि जैसे हमारे प्रधानमंत्री व्हेन ही वाज डिपार्टिंग तो उन्होंने खुद कहा कि भारत विल बिकम द वॉयस ऑफ द ग्लोबल साउथ. जैसे हमने जो वॉयस ऑफ ग्लोबल साउथ समिट की जो मीटिंग्स भी यहाँ पे तीन की थी हमारे G20 प्रेसिडेंसी के टाइम, सो जो कंट्रीज वहां पे अभी मौजूद नहीं हैं, उन कंट्रीज की खासतौर से तीसरी दुनिया के छोटे देश हैं, उनकी जो आवाज है, जैसे हम G20 में अफ्रीकन यूनियन को लेके आए थे, तो उन देशों की आवाज को हम G7 तक वहां पे पहुंचा पाए. दूसरी बात है, क्योंकि इसको भारत की दृष्टि से अगर हम इस पूरे G7 को देखते हैं तो उसमें भारत के और कनाडा के संबंध जो हैं हम जानते हैं पिछले कुछ महीनों से काफी बिगड़े हुए हैं. तो उसमें इसी कारण से, क्योंकि शायद वो न्योता भी भारत को पहले नहीं मिला था, लेकिन प्रेशर था बाकी दूसरे G7 के देशों का भी, क्योंकि जब तक भारत की साझेदारी उसके अंदर नहीं होगी तो शायद इट विल नॉट बी बिकम वेरी इफेक्टिव G7 मीटिंग. तो अल्टीमेटली इंडिया हैज बीन इनवाइटेड एंड इंडिया आल्सो हैज ग्रेशियसली एक्सेप्टेड दैट इनविटेशन इवन इफ इट वाज एट लास्ट मिनट.
प्रधानमंत्री नरेंद्र मोदी मोदी कनाडा के प्राइम मिनिस्टर से इस दौरान मिलेंगे, तो बायलैटरली क्या एक डिप्लोमेटिक रीसेट की अपॉर्चुनिटी है, इस पर हम बात करेंगे। लेकिन एम्बेसडर, उससे पहले मैं आपसे G7 संबंधित एक प्रश्न पूछना चाहती हूँ कि ऐसे सम्मेलनों में आप भारत की भूमिका को कैसे देखते हैं?
भारत एक आवाज बनकर उभरा है ग्लोबल साउथ की। हमने दो वॉइस ऑफ ग्लोबल साउथ समिट किए जब हमारी G20 की अध्यक्षता प्रारंभ हुई थी 1 जनवरी 2023 को, तो 10 दिन के अंदर हमने पहला वॉइस ऑफ द ग्लोबल साउथ समिट ऑर्गेनाइज किया, जिसमें करीब 125 देश सम्मिलित हुए उसमें, और बहुत सारे देश थे जो कि हेड ऑफ स्टेट हेड ऑफ गवर्नमेंट लेवल पर भी उन्होंने उसमें शिरकत की। और उसके बाद नवंबर में हमने फिर से एक और वॉइस ऑफ ग्लोबल साउथ समिट किया है। तो मैं समझता हूं जो पूरा विश्व भारत को एक जो भी अंतर्राष्ट्रीय मंच होते हैं जिसमें भारत उसमें कोलैबोरेट करता है या पार्टिसिपेट करता है, तो उसमें हमेशा जो ग्लोबल साउथ की कंसर्न्स हैं, एम्बिशंस हैं, एस्पिरेशंस हैं, जो उनकी चिंताएं हैं, उनको वो जरूर वहां पर उजागर करता है और उभारता है। क्योंकि हमने देखा है जो पिछले कुछ समय में 3-3.5 साल में पर्टिकुलरली, परंतु उससे पहले भी COVID-19 पेंडेमिक हुआ, उसके बाद रूस और यूक्रेन के बीच में युद्ध शुरू हुआ 2022 के शुरू में, अभी तक चल रहा है। 2023 में हमने देखा इसराइल और हमास हिजबुल्ला इन सब के बीच में युद्ध हुआ। जब ये सब युद्ध होते हैं और अगर ऊर्जा का दाम बढ़ता है, अगर सप्लाई चेन्स डिस्टर्ब्ड होती हैं, अगर फूड आइटम्स के दाम बढ़ते हैं या नहीं प्राप्त होते हैं, तो सबसे देश जिनके ऊपर सबसे बड़ा और बुरा प्रभाव पड़ता है वो डेवलपिंग कंट्रीज हैं, वो ग्लोबल साउथ के सदस्य हैं। तो इसीलिए भारत जिस भी मंच पर जाता है, केवल ऐसा ही नहीं, जब हम G20 की अध्यक्षता कर रहे थे उस समय हमने अफ्रीकन यूनियन को एक सदस्य बनाया, जो कि ये वाला मुद्दा बहुत समय से टलता हुआ आ रहा था। किसी भी देश ने इसके, जो भी इसके अध्यक्ष बने, उन्होंने इसके ऊपर ध्यान नहीं दिया, परंतु भारत ने सबसे सर्वसम्मति से अफ्रीकन यूनियन को भी इसका एक सदस्य बनाया। और अभी चाहे वो ग्रोइंग डेट हो या फिर क्लाइमेट जस्टिस हो, क्लाइमेट फाइनेंस हो, अप्रोप्रिएट टेक्नोलॉजी की बात हो, तो इस सब में भारत का बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण योगदान रहता है। और इसीलिए मैं समझता हूं जो अभी जब G7 की मुलाकात होने वाली है, तो उसमें सभी देशों ने ये कहा जो और सदस्य थे, हालांकि हमारे द्विपक्षीय संबंध कनाडा के साथ इतने अच्छे नहीं रहे हैं पिछले 2 साल में, परंतु सभी देशों ने कहा जो अगर विश्व की जो सबसे बड़ी चुनौतियां हैं, अगर हमने उनसे डील करना है, तो भारत का हाई टेबल पर होना अनिवार्य है। और इसीलिए ये ग्लोबल इश्यूज को डिस्कस करने के लिए, परंतु भारत और कनाडा के द्विपक्षीय संबंधों को डिस्कस करने के लिए, आगे ले जाने के लिए, मेरे विचार से प्रधानमंत्री मोदी को G7 में सम्मिलित होना बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण।
तो एम्बेसडर, आपको लगता है कि ये G7 समिट जिसकी मेजबानी कनाडा कर रहा है, और जिस तरह से भारत कनाडा रिश्तों में काफी तनातनी रही पिछले प्रधानमंत्री जस्टिन ट्रूडो के कार्यकाल में, तो ऐसे में क्या दोनों देश अपने रिश्तों को एक नई शुरुआत देने का मौका देना चाहते हैं इस समिट के दौरान?
जी, मुझे बिल्कुल ऐसा प्रतीत होता है जो ऐसा होगा। उन दोनों नेताओं की, प्रधानमंत्री मोदी और प्रधानमंत्री मां कार्ने की मुलाकात होगी। दोनों नेताओं ने यह बताया है जो हम, ये एक बुरा एपिसोड था जो सितंबर 2023 में शुरू हुआ, इसको हमें अपने पीछे छोड़ देना चाहिए, परंतु बहुत सारे ऐसे क्षेत्र हैं जिनमें भारत और कनाडा मिलकर साथ में काम कर सकते हैं। जब हमारे प्रधानमंत्री 2015 में वहां पर गए थे, हम एक FTA की बात कर रहे थे, फ्री ट्रेड अग्रीमेंट दोनों देशों के बीच में होना चाहिए। कनाडा के पास कमोडिटीज बहुत अधिक मात्रा में हैं, चाहे वो यूरेनियम हो जो कि हमको चाहिए, हम अपनी न्यूक्लियर पावर की जो जनरेशन कैपेसिटी है उसको हम और बढ़ा रहे हैं, और ऑयल है, गैस है, कोल है, ऐसी बहुत सारी कमोडिटीज हैं। टेक्नोलॉजी के क्षेत्र में हम बहुत अच्छा काम कर सकते हैं, सहयोग कर सकते हैं। हमारा वहां पर डायस्पोरा काफी बड़ा है, वहां पर हमारी स्टूडेंट कम्युनिटी बहुत बड़ी है. तो बहुत सारे ऐसे क्षेत्र हैं जो कि अगर हमारे संबंध अच्छे नहीं होते तो हम इन क्षेत्रों में ठीक प्रकार से काम नहीं कर पाएंगे.
Absolutely.
और इसीलिए प्रधानमंत्री मोदी की यात्रा मैं समझता हूं जो एक गेम चेंजर का काम करेगी.
द प्राइम मिनिस्टर्स थ्री नेशन टूर एंड दिस इज टू क्रोएशिया, अनदर स्मॉल कंट्री इन द यूरोपियन यूनियन. बट प्रोफेसर, अ स्मॉल पार्ट बोथ ऑफ द EU एंड NATO, Croatia doesn't figure as prominently in Indian foreign policy discussions. But this visit, which is the first by an Indian Prime Minister to this country, marks a shift in India's East Central European outreach. What outcomes do you see coming out of this very significant visit?
One, in fact, the major outcome is that, as Ambassador Sajjanha was mentioning earlier, our outreach to different parts of Europe has really increased. You know, we had earlier, mainly with the EU and major countries, like France, Germany and UK. And then we later on also had very important now partnership with Italy. So this particular part, Central Eastern Europe or Southeastern Europe, this needs perhaps more attention. I think Prime Minister's visit to Croatia would fill that gap because, this also is an area where we used to have a very close relationship, political relationship and also economic relationship. I mean, Croatia was part of the former Yugoslavia and that country was part of our very close partner in our non-aligned movement. And also, we had a very important trade and economic relationship with all these countries at that point of time. Now, most of these countries have now become part of the European Union. So they are playing an important role within the European Union institutions. We have now India Nordic Summit. There is a possibility that we at some point of time, now there is certain difficulty within the Visegrad countries, Hungary, Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and those countries. And then the Southeastern Europe. Now, Croatia would really represent that part. And also within this broader connect of India, Middle East, Europe economic corridors. So politically, strategically, and economically, this region is important. And that was also one region where, in fact, that China was also making major inroads. So it means we have to now, we are giving more attention to this region because this was kind of, Southeastern Europe, Central Eastern Europe countries within the EU and outside EU, which were not part of that. So there is, I think, a very conscious effort by us to reach to those countries.
Ambassador, understanding the areas of cooperation between India and Croatia, and how are we looking to enhance this cooperation further in areas like, say, digital infrastructure, green technology, something that you see as a key outcome of this visit?
There are going to be several significant outcomes. Of course, as far as technology is concerned, because India, as far as the public digital infrastructure, fintech, etc., all those areas, India has made huge advances, made huge strides, and it'll be very happy to share its expertise with all these companies. Croatia represented, in fact, the former Yugoslavia. There were a large number of other constituents like Bosnia, Herzegovina, Serbia, Slovenia, etc. But Croatia is the most prosperous part and it was the most stable part and one of the first few, next to Slovenia and Croatia, both of them coming out together as Yugoslavia disintegrated. But it accounted for 2/3 of the trade that Yugoslavia, that the whole of Yugoslavia had with India. So it's a very significant part of Europe.
Right.
And one thing that we have not spoken about, Tina, is the cultural connect and the people-to-people connect. There is very ancient history in terms of study of Indology. In the Zagreb University, there is a department that has been functioning for many decades now. That we have also established a chair on Sanskrit because that is also an area there is great interest. So I think at the level of culture, whether it is also, we are shortly going to get the International Day of Yoga on the 21st of June. So many of these traditional practices and beliefs from India, they reached Croatia earlier. And I'm sure in all the agreements that are going to be signed, culture, people-to-people contact, tourism, etc., is going to be a very important part in addition to trade and technology and investment.
Right. So let's hope for fruitful outcomes from this three-nation tour of the Prime Minister. With that, we'll have to wrap up the conversation. Time allows us to take up only that much on the program today. Thank you once again, Ambassador and Professor, for your valuable time and your valuable insights. Listeners, that's it from us on this program.
You were listening to a discussion on significance of Prime Minister's visit to Cyprus, Canada and Croatia. The participants were Ashok Sajjanhar, former ambassador, and Professor Gulshan Sachdeva, international affairs expert. The moderator was Tina Jha, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.